Let's go to the Lord in prayer, please. Father, we know that we only are here through the blood of Christ, that we've been washed, that we've been forgiven. And because of that, we can read and understand your word and you speak to us. And I just pray that in our time together this morning, that you would speak to us through your word. In Jesus' name, amen. We're still in Hebrews 13 as we wind down our study of Hebrews. And we started last week in looking at the prayer contained in Hebrews 13, starting in verse 20. It reads, "Now may the God of peace, who brought up our Lord Jesus from the dead, that great shepherd of the sheep, through the blood of the everlasting covenant, make you complete in every good work to do his will, working in you what is well-pleasing in his sight through Jesus Christ, to whom be glory forever and ever. Amen." As we began the study of that prayer last week, we began our study with the study of a title, God of Peace. And I mentioned that that's not a title that's exclusive to this particular passage, that it's found in various other verses in the Bible. But that title, God of Peace, is a title that only we as believers can know, that we know God as a God of peace. And because we know God as the God of peace, we are at peace, that we have peace. Not only do we have peace, but we should be a peaceable people. And as a peaceable people, we should want others to know that peace that you and I have by being believers in the Lord Jesus Christ. And as you could tell by our last time together, there's a lot in a title. We're going to look at another title in this particular prayer this morning. And that is the title that is given to Jesus. You see it there in verse 20. "Now may the God of peace, who brought up our Lord Jesus from the dead, that great shepherd of the sheep." And just as the title God of peace was used in numerous locations in the Bible, we see this title also, that title of Christ being our shepherd. It is also found in numerous locations, and I'm going to give you several of those this morning as we begin our study. And the first one can be found in the 63rd chapter of Isaiah, starting in verse 11. Isaiah 63, starting in verse 11. We're going to be looking at 11 and 12. It reads, "Then he remembered the days of old, Moses and his people, saying, where is he who brought them up out of the sea? With the shepherd of his flock. Where is he who put his Holy Spirit within them, who led them by the right hand of Moses with his glorious arm, dividing the water before them to make for himself an everlasting name?" So there we see this idea that Messiah being a shepherd in Isaiah 63. You also see it in the 40th chapter of Isaiah, in verse 11. It reads, "He will feed his flock like a shepherd. He will gather the lambs with his arm and carry them in his bosom and gently lead those who are with his young." So here's two instances in the Old Testament that refers to the Messiah, the Lord, as a shepherd. And then as you look in the Gospel of John, chapter 10, verse 11, we see the declarative statement of Jesus Christ himself in John 10, 11, where he says, I am the good shepherd. The good shepherd gives his life for the sheep. So we have Old Testament prophecy comparing Jesus, the Messiah, as a shepherd. Here we see Jesus Christ declaring himself, I am the good shepherd. And we see in our prayer here in Hebrews 13 that Jesus is the great shepherd. There's a lot of meaning in this wonderful title, and that's what I want to spend the balance of our time on this morning. And so if you're still in John 10, stay there. We're going to spend some time there this morning as we look at this idea that Jesus Christ is our great shepherd. There again in verse 11, he says, I am the good shepherd. The good shepherd gives his life for the sheep. But a hireling who is not the shepherd, one who does not own the sheep, sees the wolf coming and leaves the sheep and flees. And the wolf catches the sheep and scatters them. The hireling flees because he is a hireling and does not care about the sheep. I am the good shepherd, and I know my sheep, and am known by my own. As the Father knows me, even so I know the Father, and I lay down my life for the sheep. And other sheep I have which are not of this fold, them also I must bring, and they will hear my voice, and there will be one flock and one shepherd. Therefore, my Father loves me because I lay down my life that I may take it again. No one takes it from me, but I lay it down of myself. I have power to lay it down, and I have power to take it again. This command I have received from my Father. As we look at this group of verses, and as we think about Jesus Christ being our great shepherd, I want to point out some particular aspects of that title. And the first one that I want to point out is that our great shepherd is a personal shepherd. And you see that in verse 14 of John 10 when he says, I am the good shepherd and I know my sheep. And I know my sheep and am known by my own. Later on in verse 16, he says, and other sheep I have which are not of this fold, referring to us as Gentiles, them also I must bring, and they will hear my voice, and there will be one flock and one shepherd. My sheep hear my voice, and I know them, and they follow me. We don't worship a god of stone or marble or gold. We worship a personal Savior who knows us. He knows us, and we know Him. He is our personal shepherd, and when we hear His voice, we know Him. That's important, that we look at Jesus Christ as our personal shepherd. The other day I came home and Kathy was in the kitchen. I didn't know it at the time, but she was on Facebook Messenger with Hannah. And I opened the door and I heard Hannah's voice. My child could be halfway around the world right now in Africa, but as soon as I walked in, it's Hannah. Why is that? Because she's my child. I know that you've experienced that with your kids where you know the sound of their voice. And let me tell you, my friends, we should know the voice of Jesus as He is our personal shepherd. Because we are children of God. And as His children, we should know the voice of the Lord. He is our great shepherd, and we know Him personally. But not only is He a personal shepherd, but He's also a shepherd of provision. What do shepherds do? They take care of the sheep, don't they? They take care of their flock. In verse 11 of John 10, he said, I am the good shepherd. The good shepherd gives his life for the sheep. Jesus Christ takes care of us. You see that also in Ezekiel 34:11, where it reads, "For thus says the Lord God, indeed I myself will search for my sheep and seek them out. As a shepherd seeks out his flock on the day he is among his scattered sheep, so I will seek out my sheep and deliver them from all the places where they were scattered on a cloudy and dark day. And I will bring them out from the peoples and gather them from the countries, and I will bring them to their own land, and I will feed them on the mountains of Israel and the valleys and all the inhabited places of the country. I will feed them in good pasture, and their fold shall be on the high mountains of Israel. There they shall lie down in a good fold and feed in rich pasture on the mountains of Israel. I will feed my flock, and I will make them lie down, says the Lord God. I will seek what was lost and bring back what was driven away, bind up the broken and strengthen what was sick, but I will destroy the fat and the strong and feed them in judgment." As these verses deal with the restoration of Israel and the remnant of Israel, it tells us something, though, about the character of the shepherd, and the shepherd takes care of the sheep. Just as we quote in Psalm 23, "The Lord is my shepherd, I shall not want." Why do we not want? Because Jesus Christ, the great shepherd, takes care of His sheep. And we're satisfied. And we know Him. And we love Him. It goes on in the 23rd Psalm and it says, "He makes me to lie down in green pastures," just as we saw in Ezekiel. "He leads me beside the still waters. He restores my soul. He leads me in the paths of righteousness for His name's sake." The good shepherd is a provisional shepherd, and he takes care of us, and he leads us, and he provides for us. We need to rest in that as believers, that we serve a God who provides and takes care of us. Not only is he personal, not only is he provisional, but he's also protecting. Back in John 10, verse 11, it says, "I am the good shepherd. The good shepherd gives his life for the sheep, but a hireling, he who is not the shepherd, one who does not own the sheep, sees the wolf coming and leaves, and the sheep flees, and the wolf catches the sheep and scatters them. The hireling flees because he is a hireling and does not care about the sheep. I am the good shepherd, and I know my sheep, and am known by my own." In other words, he protects us, doesn't he? He protects us from evil. He's the great shepherd, and he is protecting his sheep. That's why in Psalm 23, as it refers to the great shepherd, it reads in verse 4, "Yea, though I walk through the valley of the shadow of death, I will fear no evil, for you are with me." Why do we not fear evil? Because the great shepherd is with us. He is protecting us. And it goes on in the 23rd Psalm, and it says, "Your rod and your staff, they comfort me." That staff, the staff of the Lord, protects us from evil. It goes on and says, "You prepare a table before me in the presence of mine enemies. You anoint my head with oil. My cup runs over. Surely goodness and mercy shall follow me all the days of my life, and I will dwell in the house of the Lord forever." Do you live as if you are in care of the great shepherd? Because he's here. He's here. He's guiding us. He's protecting us. He's feeding us. If we just rest in Him, I think we'll all agree that we live in a world that absolutely does not make sense. It doesn't make sense at all. As we see evil being played out every single week on the television, in the newspaper, is people who give no thought for human life just pull out a gun and just kill people at random. Complete strangers. Complete strangers, as we witnessed in Pittsburgh. People that they don't even know. And it's so easy for us to get caught up and be anxious. But the one thing I do know is that you and I, as believers in the Lord Jesus Christ, are under the care of the shepherd. And the shepherd takes care of his sheep. Let me ask you something. In your Bible, do we know how it ends? We do, don't we? We know how it ends. And in knowing how it ends, we know that God's victorious and He takes care of us every step of the way. And we need to walk in that idea of being under Jesus Christ as the great shepherd. It's important because He's there to protect us. That's why in verse 5 it says, "You prepare a table before me in the presence of mine enemies." In spite of our environment, in spite of our environment, we are under the protection of the great shepherd. We need to remember that. We don't have to live a life of fear. We don't have to live a life of anxiety, just as Paul said that we can have a peace that surpasses all understanding. And the reason why we have a peace that can surpass all understanding is because we are under the shepherd, the great shepherd, Jesus Christ. It's so very important that we take this and we rest on this as a fact in our life. That He is protecting us. Not only is He a shepherd of protection, but He is also a shepherd that is permanent. We could also say perpetual. What do I mean by that? When you look back at John 10 and verse 16, it says, "And other sheep I have which are not of this fold, them also I must bring, and they will hear my voice, and there will be one flock and one shepherd." Of course, it was referring to us as Gentiles, right? That some believers came out of the Hebrews, some believers came out of us as Gentiles, and we're all under Jesus Christ. We're not under two systems, are we? We're under one system, and Jesus Christ is the great shepherd. That's referencing a plan, isn't it? As Christ makes that statement in John 10, that there is a plan, and in fact, we've already mentioned Revelation, that God has a plan, and you and I can turn to Revelation, and we can study the plan and know how this world is going to end and how Christ will reign victoriously. And if you will, I want you to turn to Revelation 7. And in Revelation 7, what we're about to look at, this is the end of times. And these are the folks that got saved after the rapture. After the rapture, they were left here on earth and they turned to Jesus Christ. They weren't believers, but they turned to Jesus Christ during the tribulation. And it says something about Jesus here in this verse. And starting in verse 3, it says, "Then one of the elders answered, saying to me, 'Who are these arrayed in white robes, and where did they come from?'" Now, these are the believers that got saved during the tribulation. And in verse 14, it says, "And I said to him, 'Sir, you know.' So he said to me, 'These are the ones who came out of the great tribulation. and washed their robes and made them white in the blood of the Lamb. Therefore they are before the throne of God and serve Him day and night in His temple. And He who sits on the throne will dwell among them. They shall neither hunger any more or thirst any more. The sun shall not strike them, nor any heat. Why is that? Why is verse 16? It tells us in verse 17, for the Lamb who is in the midst of the throne will shepherd them and lead them to living fountains of water, and God will wipe away every tear from their eye. He's the perpetual shepherd. And when we get to heaven, He's still going to be our shepherd. We're still going to be under Christ as the great shepherd. In 1 Peter 2:25, it refers to Jesus as the shepherd, but also as the overseer of our souls. He's the shepherd and He is the overseer of our souls. Now I want you to think about that just for a moment. And as we've been in Hebrews, and previously we've discussed the chastening of the Lord. And one of the signs that you are a believer in the Lord Jesus Christ is if you get off the path, what does God do? He chastens us. He finds us. He brings us back in. What does the shepherd do when a sheep goes astray? He brings them back in. That's what Jesus does. He is the overseer of our souls. And I think the question that we have to ask ourselves this morning is do we live, are we submitting our life every single day to Jesus Christ? Because we will either endure the chastening of the Lord or the blessings of the Lord if we are His sheep. It's clear in Scripture. And to me, it's so sad when you have people that have made a declaration of faith, but they continue to battle against self, and they do not relinquish their life to the great shepherd. And see, as you and I as believers, as we think about sanctification and as God moves us more and more into holiness, and as we continue to change to the power of sanctification, I think the one thing that we can recognize is that the more you submit, the more peace and love and joy you experience as a believer in the Lord Jesus Christ. Why is that? Because as a lamb, you're walking with the shepherd, right? If my two choices are either chastening or walking, life is a lot better when we walk and when we experience the love and the joy and the peace of walking with the shepherd. See, He is our great shepherd. There's no escaping that. He is Lord. He is Lord. And as Lord, He sets the rules. He determines the plan. And we can either fight against Him and be chastened, or we can submit to the shepherd. And when we submit to the shepherd, we experience everything that Lord has in store for us. Jesus Christ, the great shepherd of the sheep. Join me in prayer, please. Father, I just thank You for all of the wonderful blessings that we have by submitting to You. And I just pray that each of us here this morning might submit to You more and more. that we'd continue to relinquish self. I pray, Lord, that if there is someone here who is not living according to your truth, and they're battling by trying to live in this world, that they would submit to you as shepherd, that they'd relinquish their life. I pray, Lord, that if there's someone here who does not know you, that they would know you today, that they'd ask you into their heart, that they'd recognize that you're Savior and Lord. I pray, Lord, that as we start a new week, that we may start off by submitting to you on a daily basis. In Jesus' name, amen.